A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how I think Wisconsin football was a bit of a program out of sync. I kind of have to eat my words a little bit here and give this administration some serious credit for what it's doing in the transfer portal. I don't want to overreact, but Wisconsin didn't really mess this up. They showed us the money. They landed Joseph. They got real pieces. And that matters in this era of college sports. The question is this a one-off, or is this Wisconsin actually operating like a top third program? It's been a really fun start to the portal, honestly. I mean, the portal opened on January 2nd. I'm recording this on January 7th. It's been open for five. This is the sixth day. And the Badgers have signed 20 players, which is second in the Big Ten, only to Penn State, who basically took all of Iowa State's roster along with Matt Campbell. It's been a very, very impressive start. And we're going to talk a little bit about why I think that matters and what the administration's doing. Also, we'll touch very quickly on the Damon Williams situation, which again is just absolute madness. I mean, this has got to stop. It's just got to stop. The most impressive thing about what Wisconsin's been doing lately is the fact that, first of all, we got QB1. Okay, now whether you think Colton Joseph is the right quarterback for Wisconsin and a good enough quarterback in the portal is your own thought, and that's fine. But the one thing that I feel like has to be acknowledged is that they got their top guy, right? Like, they set their sights on a quarterback probably well before the season ended. They knew what kind of player they were targeting. They knew Jeff Grimes was going to return. And, you know, obviously Chris McIntosh knew that Fickell was going to be there. Fickell made the decision that Grimes was going to be there, and so on and so forth. And they probably, you know, knew the whole time what the plan was, and they wanted a guy. They identified the guy, and clearly they're paying him. Now, we don't know what they're paying him, but I've heard it's, you know, north of $2 million, maybe closer to $3 million. I've heard different numbers, but either way, they're paying a guy, which is not something that they've done. They paid a little bit last year, but they're spending more money than they did last year. That's just clear with the talent they're getting and things that we've heard. And that's a statement. Right. I mean, there were so many people, myself included, clamoring for Lou Fickell to be replaced this past season. And Chris McIntosh doubled down and said, not only are we not replacing him, we're going to invest in him. We're going to throw more money at it. We believe this is the right thing to do. And whether it works, we don't know. But I mean, you got to appreciate what they're doing. They're putting the chips in, right? They're saying, okay, here we go. I mean, Colton Joseph is not one of the top five quarterbacks in the portal. He's not probably top 10, but after that, he's in that discussion. He's certainly in the discussion for the one of the best quarterbacks to come out of the group of five, right? Not one of the already power four guys. And every year you see these guys that are now coming out of these smaller programs that turn out to be, you know, really strong at the next level. And I feel like Colton Joseph absolutely can be that, right? I mean, we've obviously talked about his stats and some of the positives there. So we don't need to go into that again, but I'm very impressed with how this is done. I talked about on my last corner episode about how in order for this to work, everyone had to be in sync, right? The administration, the athletic department, the coaches, the staff, everyone had to be in sync. But in order to pull this off and what they've done, it kind of shows that they are. It kind of shows that things are working. They're able to sell the program. They're providing the money. They're signing them to contracts. I've heard some, you know, as things that it's probably 2-year deals in some of these cases. So that's good. Now that you can have this revenue sharing capability and there's an ability to say, hey, you know, you're going to stay here for a couple of years and we'll give you X amount of dollars and whatever the legalities are there. I don't know, but we obviously need to, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but yeah, I mean, it's working. And if you look at across the conference, right, the Big Ten conference, Penn State's got 24 commits in, but they're almost all from Iowa State, which is crazy. Obviously, Indiana is doing well, but they only have 10, but they're ranked higher because they obviously got, you know, a lot of good players like Nick Marsh and Josh Hoover and other guys. But we're the fifth as far as like overall rankings, at least on 247, but only Penn State's had more than us. We have 20 commits and 20 commits. Now, I want to remind everybody that we lost 20. Right? We lost 21 actually with Joe Brunner. We've replaced, as far as numbers, we've replaced everything we've lost. Not positions, not everything, but they've done a really good job of getting guys in here. It all starts with Colton Joseph, though. If you don't have Joseph, then you're looking at this transfer portal class being like, oh, geez, I don't know about that, you know? And we identified and we talked about how if you're going to get Joseph, you got to get an O-line. You've got to be able to strengthen there, similar to what they did last year on the defensive line, where they loaded up with a bunch of size and experience, various experience levels, and in varying degrees of it, and said, all right, well, we've got to improve here. And they did that. And it showed. And we saw results of that directly, right? Excuse me. And when you see guys that, like, you know, Austin Kowecki, who is likely to start at center for the Badgers next year out of Oklahoma State, you think, okay, right? And they got a guy like Lucas Simmons from Florida State. And they got Blake Cherry from Arkansas, right? And the Arkansas guys aren't done. I'm sure there's going to be more coming from Arkansas. Obviously, we got Justice Boone, the edge rusher from Arkansas. And I mean, there's just a lot of depth being built in this transfer portal class. They prioritized that position of offensive line that they know they needed it. They got the quarterback. They also prioritized cornerback, right? Bryce West, a highly touted four-star recruit out of Ohio State, who after his freshman year has 3 years of eligibility left. And, you know, he's a three-star transfer, but I mean, he's a lot of physical tools, a lot of talent, right? And you got the running back in Abu Sama, a guy that legitimately can start. We talked about needing starters. That's exactly what they've got. Now, again, we don't know who's all going to be great here. We don't know who's going to play, who's not, and who's in the future. But when I look at guys like Eric Fletcher and Kai Bates, and Bryce West, I think cornerbacks that can play football for this team. You know, we've got a couple receivers in here. There's just a lot of focus on here's what we needed. Let's go do it. That is exactly what we called for. That is exactly what we wanted. We said, put the money on the table, go spend it, show us you care about the future of this program and you're going to do it and you're going to put your money where your mouth is. And they did it. So I give a ton of credit to Luke Fickell, to his coaching staff, to Chris McIntosh, to the Wisconsin administration. Like they've done that. Will it all work? We don't know. But again, at least they're doing it. At least they're trying. They went out there, they knew what they wanted, and they found it. And I give them a ton of credit for that. It's very good. But listen, Colton Joseph is really the guy, right? I mean, if he doesn't show, then it's a whole different class. And the fact that he's there, he's committed. They did a whole video and, you know, a little welcome video that released on their social media and him walking into Camp Randall. I mean, it's fun, right? I mean, that's fine. And I love that stuff. And I think that there's hype building around the program. And I know there's a lot of people that are saying, oh, well, you guys are just hyping it up and, you know, you're always hyped about it. I'm Mr. Positive. Yes, that's true. I am always hyped about it. I am going to find it. I'm going to find the positivity in it. And I think the reason that this is different is because there is more NIL dollars involved. We did get a quarterback. And you can look across at the numbers that they brought in already, 20 already, to say clearly they're bringing in competition for these positions. They're bringing in the ability to say all these guys, like now you've got youth on the team. So is that youth good enough? Can they step up their game to win some of these spots? A lot of these guys going to compete for starting positions? Like, that's exactly what you need. We found these areas and we immediately supplemented them, which I think is great. That's what's so special about this one particularly. And Colton Joseph is the guy we talked about before the portal opened. Like it wasn't a Billy Edwards type of a player. It was someone who was very highly thought of and the Florida schools were after him, and that matters. A few weeks ago, we talked about Ted Kellner discussing the top third comment, right? If you remember that Ted Kellner said Wisconsin is going to spend in the upper third of the Big Ten and things are going to be a lot different. You know, he kind of did that, right? So again, are we a top third? I don't know. but we have increased our spending to a level that I think is much more acceptable, just again, based on not knowing what was spent, but at least based on what the talent that was brought in. And it's not only just about the numbers, and it's just the message that gets sent to the conference. And I've talked to fans of other Big Ten schools, and you know, that people are like, oh wow, Wisconsin's really making some moves in the portal, and that's good. And I mean, it looks like things are turning around. That's all you can hope for right now. There's nothing else to do in January when you talk about college football than get excited about what's happening in the portal. Or conversely, be upset that your school didn't do that. Because let me tell you, if we hadn't gotten Colton Joseph, and we didn't have 20 people on this roster, and we didn't have multiple offensive linemen and multiple cornerbacks, and then we would be talking about how shitty this was. We'd be talking about how, here once again, they're just not doing what they're supposed to do. So I think what's next for me with this is, let's see what happens. Let's see how this closes out. And then, you know, we're going to dive into this portal class a little bit more, watch some film, and I'm excited to learn more about these guys and then really start projecting, at least from the fans' perspective, just like what this is going to look like next year. Like, how can you put a team together now, and where do the pieces fall? And then developing, okay, what battles are we interested in seeing in the spring, right? I mean, what's that going to look like? I can't wait to see what the O-line looks like, you know, especially with Kevin Haywood returning, and then you got all these guys coming in from Arkansas and other spots. Like, it's going to be fun, and I'm glad and I'm thankful that Wisconsin has given me a little bit of excitement heading into the winter here, and, you know, looking ahead to the spring. And then, you know, we're 3 months away from spring practice, and it's like, all right, can't wait to see what that looks like, right? Can't wait to see, you know, who's showing out, and knowing also, by the way, that you can't transfer again, right? So we're not going to have this exodus of players after the spring practice, because there's no transfer portal at that point, which I think is, which is great. So more to come on that. And we're going to dive more into this class and kind of the transfer portal class and specifics of what they look like, and strengths, weaknesses on our regular weekend show. So tune into that. If you've been following the news a little bit this week and, you know, in the college world, you've heard about Damon Williams, the Washington quarterback who, you know, obviously we played against this year and beat, which was pretty great. He apparently committed to Washington and allegedly, this is just allegedly, signed a contract stating that he'd be back and, you know, there'd be money involved or whatever, sign an NIL deal, right? And he is now asked to be entered in the transfer portal. And where have we heard that before? Right? Xavier Lucas. This is exactly the Xavier Lucas situation. I cannot believe that this has happened. We've got to put an end to this. And let me tell you, Xavier Lucas, his situation worked, right? He's down there playing in Miami, right? They're in the Final Four of college football. And he's not really going to see much ramifications from this. Miami might have to pay up eventually when this court case is settled. But we can't honestly operate in a world that's this crazy with lack of guardrails. Now, we've talked about that. We're not going to get into all that again, but this specifically cannot happen. You're now paying them to play. You're actually giving these guys, in some cases, millions of dollars to play football and to do a job. And to sign, I mean, you signed a contract. You're like, all right, I'm gonna play here. I'm gonna get paid X number of millions of dollars, or whatever the case is, or X $100,000. And then for a player to just say, no, you know, I'm gonna go somewhere else. Probably because that somewhere else is saying, hey, we can give you a lot more money if you want to come here, and we have a better chance of winning, or whatever that is, right? And I think that's wrong, and I think it has to stop. And the only way it stops is if an example is made. I'm not saying like, kick Damon Williams out of college football, but there's got to be something that says, hey, no, you can't. If you want to play football next year, you're playing for Washington, period, end of discussion, because you signed a contract. Now, you don't want to play for Washington? Fine. You can sit out. You can just not play. They don't have to sign the contract. There's no one forcing them to say, I will return to the University of Washington. You don't have to do that. No one forced Xavier Lucas to sign a piece of paper that said, I will return to the University of Wisconsin to get paid X amount of dollars. Don't sign it if you don't want to play there. You have every opportunity and right to enter the transfer portal. Use it and do it. But to just say, I'm going to enter the transfer portal now, even though I signed whatever I signed, is not going to work. So kudos to the University of Washington for not allowing him to not entering his name into the portal. Kudos to the Big Ten for doing exactly what they did for us and says, hey, we stand behind this team and we're gonna fight this. But if it's just another Xavier Lucas situation where Washington ends up suing another school or whatever, like that's not going to solve the problem. Imagine a situation where these contracts are just totally nonsense, right? And you know, you could just break from it. I mean, if he signs that contract, he plays and he doesn't get his money, that he would go crazy. He would sue and say, hey, come on, I signed a contract. Okay, well, you signed a contract, so play. And so what I really hope happens is that it doesn't just become a thing between Washington and looks like LSU or, you know, one of these SEC schools that's going to get him. But like, it needs to not just be something that's like, it's settled between those schools or someone has to pay or there's tampering charges. Like, I want it to be where the player can't play for the new school and has to play at Washington or he doesn't play. Xavier Lucas should have had to play at Wisconsin or he doesn't play. And then that, guess what? Puts an end to the entire situation. Because if a player signs a contract and then the courts say, you know what? You signed a contract. You're not playing anywhere else. And if that's the case, then all this stops because no player is going to do that. And then if LSU wants to tamper and blah, 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 or schools want to talk and that's fine, they're going to do that. But hey, I signed a contract. It doesn't matter anymore. I mean, can you just imagine for a second if like Patrick Mahomes just was like, you know what? I'm just going to go. I still have a couple years left on my contract with KC. I'm going to go over here and play for, you know, the Patriots or the Colts or whatever. I'm like, what the heck? No, you can't do that. It's a business deal. It is a contract. Now, who's writing these contracts? What does this look like? I don't know, but I've got to imagine that the university's legal systems are fairly robust and they know what they're doing. And again, one of the reasons why you need guardrails on this sport, you need to have systems in place to do this. But this is another barometer, right? The Xavier Lucas situation was a barometer, and now the Damon Williams situation is a barometer. And it just can't be where he could just, okay, well, I'm just going to go play at LSU next year and be the starting quarterback for LSU game one of next season. That's ridiculous. Like, I want that I want someone to put that contract out to ESPN. Show it. Like, let's take a look at it. Like, make this a thing, because the further this gets, the more people that do this, the more off the rails the sport gets. It's already an insane. It's already insane. This is already a crazy time in college sports. We do not need it to be more crazy. We do not need it to be where you can just be like, oh, I signed my deal. Oh, I'm going to the transfer portal. What's next after spring? Well, there is no transfer portal. Well, I'm going to unenroll here. I'm quitting the University of Washington. I'm going to just enroll at LSU and try out for the football team. Like, okay, well, what's stopping that? You know, so is that going to have to go to the courts now too? Is that the next step in this where there's only one portal in January, but people are just going to unenroll and enroll somewhere else and start playing? And who's going to stop them? Right? Is a school going to just be the asshole in the room that says, no, you're not doing that. I'm going to sue the player. Or again, they're going to do what Wisconsin did and said, we're going to sue the school. We're going to go after the school to try to figure this out. We don't want to look like the bad guy who's going after the recruit that just didn't want to play here anymore. But someone has to be that example. I would be fine with us being that example. Like I said that from the very beginning. Like, I want change in this sport. And this Damon Williams situation really pisses me off because it only furthers the problem that already exists. We're not getting any better. We're only getting worse. This is not going in any good direction. At some point, it's going to be the rock bottom of how bad this sport is from a business perspective and in logistics and operations. And then it's going to get better. But I feel like we're sinking further down, because if this literally is allowed, then what's the point? What's the point of signing any contract? What's the point of paying anyone NIL? Like, they're professional athletes. They're getting paid. There's rumor that he paid $4 million. $4 million is what Damon Williams is getting to play at Washington. He was one of one of the better quarterbacks that kind of popped up last year. $4 million. You need to play there. And if you feel like you might want to change your mind, then you need to make sure that before you sign that contract, it has a clause that says, hey, I have the right to change my mind until the end of the transfer portal. Until the 16th when the portal closes, I have a right to change my mind. Even if I sign this contract, I have a right to change my mind. Okay. The school doesn't have to agree to that. But at least then there is an agreement in place about it. Maybe that's in there. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Whatever it is, this has to stop. Please, somebody fix this nonsense. And Damon Williams needs to play for Washington next year, and that's it. If that's what his contract really said, and if it is what it said, then the courts need to enforce it and tell him you're playing at UW or you're not playing anywhere else. And that's it. Because then all this madness stops. Just like that. Literally in the snap of a finger, there isn't a single player that's going to try this again if one player is stopped from making this change. I'm all about players getting played, but we got to have agreements going both ways. Got to have it. The playoffs are this weekend. That's fun. NFL playoffs, college playoffs. Very, very excited about the NFL playoffs. I've now had a couple of weeks to process my Colts not being in the playoffs, which has been brutal, by the way. But at least now I can enjoy the playoffs, which are fun. And I'm excited about that. And I'm eager to see what happens in the world of the NFL. Not necessarily so eager to see what happens in college, just because, as you know, I'm not a fan of Indiana, and I'm worried. I'm very worried that they are going to really do this. Oregon lost their running back, and that's a big loss for them. Miami still is, I think, a team to watch, and they're the 10 seed. I'm telling you, like I've been saying it all year, Carson Beck was a good move for them. They got a lot of good players. So watch out for Miami. I don't think Ole Miss can really do this. And Oregon, I really hope Oregon beats IU, but I don't know. I mean, Indiana's played really well. So I'm not looking forward to that. That's Thursday and Friday, so I'm excited to watch that tomorrow. And then get into the Indiana game on Friday, and then, of course, NFL this weekend. So wherever you're doing this weekend, it's a fun time of year. Whether you are a fan of the teams in the college football playoff or not, it's a really cool time to actually have college playoffs and NFL playoffs happening in the same weekend, Thursday, Friday, and then, you know, into the weekend. That's cool. That's just nice. Cause look, playoff football is pretty great. Like if you're listening to this, you probably like football, right? Playoff football is awesome. I mean, what's not to like about, you know, do or die single elimination games. It's awesome. It's why we all just love the sport. I'm going to end this episode by once again just saying how impressed I've been with the University of Wisconsin for doing this. I am excited about it. And maybe you're not, and that's okay. I want to really stress that. If you're a guy that's like, or a girl that's like, you know what, this is just not, I'm not going to get hyped about this. I'm not going to do anything until I see him on the field. That's fine. You're not a fan of the offseason. Okay. Or if you want to be a pessimist about this because of what you've seen on the field this year, I totally understand that. That's fine. I'm going to choose to be positive about it. I'm going to choose to be excited about Colton Joseph and Abu Sama and Eric Fletcher. And the list goes on and on of players that I'm really excited to see play for this team next year. And I continue to say, you know what? Like I didn't want Luke Fickell to retain the position, but now that Chris McIntosh has said what he said and they've invested in it, okay, let's see what he has. And I'm rooting for him. I really, really hope that this next season in college football, the 2026 season, is the year that Luke Fickell can really turn it around and really prove that he can make this program championship level worthy, which is what he said at his initial press conference. It was going to take investment. It was going to take us opening our eyes, seeing what was going on in the world of college football, and basically throwing money at it and committing to it. And also having that structure in place, having a good operation. But everything we've seen, all these players that we've seen signed so quickly in the last 6 days, proves that operation is much smoother than a lot of fans thought.